and looking good. And really, this team's looking pretty solid overall, especially now that the offense has started to click last 3, 4, 5 weeks.
Yeah, it's definitely been good. It was a great game over the weekend. 52-27 was the final score now. And like you said, I got a lot to get into tonight, Brandon. We'll start with some college football action. If you want to get involved, 828-264-4905 is the number to call to get at us. Also, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/sportsoutthewazoo, or on Twitter, twitter.com/SOTW_show, where you can email us. As always, go old school, SOTWshow@gmail.com. Lots of ways to get involved today. And Brandon, as you said, quite the offensive explosion on Saturday for the Mountaineers. 52-27, the final score. Armani Edwards lighting it up. Once again, 6 total touchdowns, 2 passing, 4 rushing. I mean, the guy breaks 100 yards on the ground. Passing numbers, 25 of 36, 355 yards. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Listening to the game, it didn't sound like he had an incompletion the whole game. No, it really didn't seem like he ever had an incomplete pass, or at least not even a bad pass.
He's putting up video game numbers, and it's ridiculous at this point. And I think we're going to talk about this on Wednesday. We're not going to get much into it today, but the guy deserves to be, flat out deserves to be into Heisman.
You look at his numbers compared to Tim Tebow, and they are eerily similar.
And
in fact, better.
Forget Tim Tebow, because I think he's out of the question. He's going to need a miracle to even be a
but he's no. The face of NCAA football right now.
If you look right now, Colt McCoy is the guy who has a decent chance. Jimmy Clausen is another guy. Jake Locker is a guy who's getting some attention. You look at those other guys. Armani Edwards, he blows them out of the water, too. It's not just Tim Tebow. He is flat out, in my opinion, the best quarterback, pound for pound, in college football right now.
He's got to be the most dominating. And when you look at Armani Edwards right now, in this, at least against SoCon teams, he's a man among boys out there. I like you said, it's like video game stats. It's like when you put it on that beginner level on NCAA football, and you know you really shouldn't be playing that level, but you just love beating the crap out of teams and putting up 600-700 yards. They literally are putting up 600-700 yards. I mean, the man had 6 touchdowns. Enough said. 6 touchdowns. This is the guy that leads this team. This is the guy that has really got this offense motoring, and he's the difference maker. He really is arguably the best player in college football right now.
I think he is. I wouldn't know. You can make arguments that he's not. I think
there's skeptics out there, but I don't think so.
Every argument that you hear based around whether or not this kid is the best quarterback in college football is, well, he's playing against weaker opponents. Okay, well, he's also playing with weaker talent around him. No offense to the rest of the Mountaineers, because we have a great team, obviously. But if you put him behind the offensive line and with the offensive weapons you have at Florida, or with the offensive weapons you have at Texas, he's going to put up the same numbers, period.
And he's just putting up insane stats, too. It's not like he's doing a good job or keeping up with those other guys. He's blowing them out of the water. If you compare him to the Colt McCoys, all those types of players, the Jimmy Clausens, like you said, he blows them out of the water. It's not even close. Jimmy Clausen this past week had a good game, and I think he passed for about 233 yards.
Yeah.
Look what Armani Edwards did. He had 6 touchdowns. Not even close.
What's really crazy is today I saw some comparisons between him and the other talent, the other quarterbacks from the FBS who have played the same teams we've played. So you could a guy like T.J. Yates from Carolina, or you look like the quarterback from Missouri, or you look at the quarterback from who else have I can't remember. There's one other FBS team that have played similar opponents as we have, and he's put up better numbers than all 3 of those guys against the same opponent. And that's what you always like to say. Well, he goes up against weaker opponents. Okay, go apples to apples with somebody. How does he match up? He's better than them flat out. So Wednesday, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But talking back more in general about this game, Brandon, we said going into the game, all right, well, ASU had a dominant performance at home against Georgia Southern on Black Saturday. This team has arrived. For the team really to arrive, we wanted to see 2 dominant performances in a row. I saw it on offense. Offense continues to be the number 1 offense in the country. Defense made a lot of mistakes again, especially in the second half, and they had a 35-13 lead, which really ballooned to 52-27. I mean, they allowed 13 points and 14 points respectively in each half, but they gave up big plays. Poor tackling was key. And then Coach Moore in the postgame news conference said, look, if we want to be a good team, we're there. We've arrived. But I want to be a great team, and if these guys want to be a great team, we've got a long ways to go. And I think it speaks volumes. I think that's where this team is at.
Well, David Jackson, I was listening to the broadcast on Saturday. He did a good job of saying this Furman team isn't the challenging Furman teams of old with the Jerome Feltons in it and those types of players, but it still is a good team.
No, and they have a good offense. Yeah.
They still have a very good offense, and I think that's why you saw the defense struggle at times. Nonetheless, Appalachian came down to Furman and was able just to romp all over them.
For the second, the first time they've ever won back-to-back games.
Yeah, second straight time that they've been able to score 52 points in a game. And on top of that, you know, against Georgia Southern, that was the first time in 10 or 15 years that they had won back-to-back games against Georgia Southern. So they're beating up opponents that usually they don't do. It's usually there's some parity in the SoCon, and App's just making light of the schedule right now. Even though these aren't the premier teams that they once were, these are still tough teams, and it's tough to beat them at their house, and they've been able to do it.
And Kazepas and I had this conversation over the weekend, just kind of shooting the breeze. I feel like the Southern Conference as a whole is down, and I think at best...
I think that's right, especially from last year or 2 years
ago. Maybe at best it's tied for the second or third best conference. By far, the CAA is the best conference. They got multiple teams.
And they've kind of come onto the scene, kind of like the SEC did a few years back.
But they're, I mean, just top to bottom, there's only, at my count, there's only two bad teams in the CAA. In the SoCon, there's only two good teams. And so it's the flip-flop. It's the inverse. You could make the argument that the Big Sky is the second best, right up to Montana's conference when they got Montana. Eastern Washington, I believe, is in that conference as well. Weber State. So when you look at that, and Montana State as well is always consistently solid. They're not great ever.
They're usually playoff caliber, but they're not championship.
But I think when you look top to bottom, ASU in the Southern Conference now, the Southern Conference has become quite mediocre, and a team like Samford at the beginning of the year, who really had a great year last year, was expected to be better. They're 1-4 in the conference right now. And you look at Georgia Southern, they're not what they used to be. Furman's not what they used to be. All these powers, of those powers, it's Appalachian State and Elon. And Elon, they've yet to win a Southern Conference title. So what does that say about the SoCon?
And they're still very young. Either way, though, you look at the season, and we were kind of harping on this Appalachian team early on, falling to 0-2 with a winnable game against ECU, definitely looking very winnable now after how ECU's performed down the stretch. And then another winnable game that we thought was going to be a massacre on Appalachian's part, where we lost against McNeese State. That was an eye-opening experience. But the one thing that I haven't seen is I really haven't seen this Appalachian team blow leads badly. I haven't seen them get massacred in a game yet like they did against LSU, which was, I mean, different level of competition, but still, nonetheless, they haven't got massacred. And really, they've started, if you kind of follow a logical progression, you see this team really start to kind of click, especially offensively, and that's dangerous now because they have their biggest weapon, which is their offense, and that's what's going to really kill teams. They're going to bludgeon teams to death, really, with that offense, and if that defense can start rolling and get some consistency, it's going to be a tough ride for a lot of SoCon teams.
I do agree with you, but once again, I want some context for this, because this is what happened last year. The offense got rolling. We had some key injuries. Then we go to end up drawing South Carolina State in the first round. We have a tough time fighting them off. Then when we play Richmond, when we're banged up, we absolutely lose. They really take us to the woodshed in that game, even though the score didn't quite show that. But they dominated all facets of that game. I want to see some context. I'm not ready to say this team is one of the best teams in the country until we get to the playoffs and we play a team out of conference. Right now, I mean, who we are is a team, a good team in a mediocre conference. Well, so that's all I can say about
that. Here's
the deal.
You have to beat the teams that are in your conference
before you go
anywhere. They're doing that, and they're beating the crap out of a lot of these teams. So first of all, they're doing that correctly. Second of all, they haven't had a lot of injuries, so they're looking healthy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they have momentum going on their side. They're not playing very inconsistent right now where they're winning one, then losing one, and blowing a team out, and they're shutting another team down.
But defensively, fundamentally, they're not sharp on defense.
Defensively, they're still not there, but the thing is you're not going to shut out any SoCon team. There's no way, and you're not going to go down to Furman and give up.
It's not three points. I'd have more of a problem when a team is able to march consistently down the field. It's when we give up 74-yard passing plays. It's when we give up huge runs. We miss tackles. We're not having good gap control on the defensive line. That's the sort of stuff that scares me, because it tells me you're not mentally prepared week in and week out to play solid football, being consistent. Now, it's one thing that you want to make big plays, but you can't always make big plays. You got to play within yourself. And I think the offense has reached that point. Can the defense reach that? We'll look at that going forward. The big game this weekend, UTC at home, Chattanooga, who started high. Everybody thought they were really changing the whole landscape of their football program. They really had to rein that back in the past few weeks. They haven't been playing great football. Still could be one of those trap games. You hate to say that. That's cliche. But ASU, I don't think they will be. But ASU, you got to make sure you're not looking past UTC to the Elon game next week.
I believe it was only 4 or 5 years ago. Richie Williams was the quarterback at the time. Appalachian went to Chattanooga. Obviously, different story. Yeah. But they went to Chattanooga and lost.
Yeah.
They lost. It was a real high-scoring game, like 52-49. a big upset loss was not supposed to happen even back then, before Appalachian was what they are now, being a championship caliber team and having all these SoCon titles. But still, that was a big upset loss. So there are trap games, and there's teams, like I've said before, this team, ever since they won that first title, and definitely since they beat Michigan, won three titles, have four straight SoCon titles, they have a huge mark on their back, and every team steps their game up because they know they're playing Appalachian State, and Appalachian State's going to get the best of every team. I think that's going to be healthy for competition, but also hard for trap games.
And it seems every year ASU does kind of slip up and give up a game that they really shouldn't lose. Hopefully that was out of the picture earlier this season when they lost to McNeese State at home earlier in the season. So we'll watch out what happens.
Either way, big game, though, for Armani Edwards as he went over 9,000 yards career passing.
I forget I missed that. I
mean, that's astonishing statistic, but either way.
Well, I think that's, once again, we'll talk about this more on Wednesday. I think when you say that and how I glanced over that, that's the sort of stuff that goes on with Armani Edwards. He lulls you to sleep. You look at his numbers, and they look extraordinary. But you're like, how did he do that? He just doesn't
lull you to sleep on defense, though, if you're playing against him.
No, of course
not. And that's the other part of his game that's like a video game, is that, I mean, he has so many juke moves and everything. Yeah. This guy's going to have a human highlight reel for his whole career. It's incredible. I look forward to what he can do, possibly in the NFL. We hope for the best there.
And we'll talk for more about that on Wednesday. We'll see if we can really match his numbers up against other competition, against other players at his level, and see if he deserves to be a Heisman candidate. So watch out for the mocks coming up Saturday at The Rock. We'll have that game for you starting at 3 o'clock. Kickoff is 3:30, not 2:30, or 3 o'clock like it was last week for the Black Saturday game. Other games of interest, moving on, Florida. Wow, what do they call it? The largest outdoor cocktail party. That's what they call it when it's Georgia and Florida down. They met down in Jacksonville over the weekend.
It's not a game, that's for sure. Yeah, it's always a romp now.
Just, yeah, well, apparently Florida, they were sick of people saying they were underperforming. Mainly you and I have been saying that the past few weeks. And they really took Florida, they really took Georgia out to the woodshed and lay down the old butt-whooping on them down
they
in Jacksonville.
They opened up a can, that
was
for
did.
Sure.
And it was very impressive, Florida trying to prove that they deserve to be number one team. They are the defending national champions. They deserve to be in that picture.
And ever since Coach Wright really had that excessive celebration after the touchdown where the whole team came out on the field, it was ridiculous. It was funny at the time, but absolutely ridiculous. They said Urban Meyer really took offense to that, as anybody would. And ever since then, he has made it a point to make sure to circle Georgia for sure on that schedule and really go at them and just absolutely hammer them. And sure enough, that's what happened again. I have to say, though, the worst part of that game was not the outcome, because I already saw that coming. It was the absolutely terrible uniforms they were wearing with the black pants and black helmets.
I kind of liked them.
I did not like them at all. They were awful.
They were similar to the AFL uniforms, these throwback uniforms they've been wearing.
Vern Lundquist had no words for it. I think at one point he was like, Georgia, you know, helmet, black pants.
You know what uniforms I thought were worse, and we'll keep it in the SEC? Tennessee laid the butt-whooping down on South Carolina themselves. They're getting better week by week under Lane Kiffin. They wore their orange pants, their typical white helmets, and black tops for the first time ever.
Everybody's going with this Halloween theme. It was because it was on Halloween.
It was just too many colors. Like, I would have liked a black top if you had a different colored helmet, or maybe if you had white pants on. But to have three different colors on your helmet,
you can't mix traditional colors. I mean, with Tennessee, you know, it's orange and white. With Carolina, it's that Carolina Tar Heel blue and white. You don't start mixing colors and trying to mix and match.
Yeah, that's why I think
it's not a room. You don't start painting it up.
That's why I think ASU's gold jerseys works, because you just throw in a different top. You don't change the rest of the uniform.
Yeah, you don't add another color in, like red or something, into black and gold. It just doesn't look good.
They were hideous uniforms. I did see a picture from back in the day. Apparently there was one point where they wore black pants as an alternate, and that actually looked good, because then you have the orange top, the black pants, but at that point you kind of look like a giant pumpkin, and I'm sure the offensive line and defensive lines would receive plenty of jokes from the fans on that one.
Especially with those bellies, that's
other it. Games of interest. Alabama, who they actually had their off week this week, did they not?
Yeah.
So Alabama not playing, what happens? Texas plays, and they lay down the butt-whooping. A lot of butt-whoopings. They lay down the butt-whooping on Oklahoma State at Oklahoma State.
41-14.
Yeah, and they leapfrog Alabama in the BCS standings.
Apparently they got our memo, too, because, you know, we'd been saying that they've been kind of playing lackluster, didn't have that big win, really didn't look like they were going to contend for a BCS championship. Lay the smackdown on Oklahoma State, another good win, and then they obviously, like you said, leapfrog Alabama in the second in the BCS now.
T. Boone Pickens wasn't happy. They came in and ruined his big party in his new palace they have down at Oklahoma State. Other games of interest, obviously, Miami and the ACC. The ACC is bad. Can we get that out of the question?
Well, yeah, let's please get that out.
The ACC is bad. The only good team there is in the ACC is Georgia Tech, who went to Vanderbilt and said, screw you, SEC, we're going to lay down the butt-whipping on you guys. And they blew them out, and they scored the most points, I think, in their modern history, did Georgia Tech in that game.
But either way, though, I mean, week to week, it changes every single week.
Georgia Tech's been consistent. That's why Georgia Tech
they've been the most consistent, but against, I mean, if they go up against a Florida or something like that, I don't think they have a shot.
See, I disagree, because they went up against a bad SEC team in Vanderbilt, but they went up against a bad SEC team and blew them out. So that's why I think they stand a decent chance.
The reason I don't trust an ACC team right now is because for so long we said Virginia Tech was at least the most consistent, and then here they get upset by Carolina, and then, you know, Georgia Tech was supposed to be there. Miami, we knew, was too
Georgia
young.
Georgia Tech's
Florida
the only
State,
team I trust. I don't
Florida
trust
State has
else.
No chance, and teams just keep going in and out, and week to week, teams are losing and winning games. I mean, Duke's
Not
winning
Georgia
games
Tech,
against
though.
State.
Georgia Tech has been there every week.
They've been there consistently, but
what
else
do you want from the team? They're blowing teams out. They're running all over people. They're the best team in the ACC.
I still think they have a lot to prove. That's just my.
They blew out an SEC team. What else?
Yeah,
can
but
you
it's
prove?
Vandy. I mean, if they blew them out.
It's not like they only beat one by one touchdown. They blew them out.
Maybe if they beat Georgia or something, I'll give them more credit. But I mean, it was a big win. But yeah, I think they'll get their chance. I just don't know if they'll prove it or not.
The other game that I wanted to see, I couldn't see it because of regional coverage. Oregon and USC. I was stuck watching the Texas game on Saturday night. It was supposed to be on ESPN2.
Wasn't much of a game anyways.
I flip over to ESPN2 HD. All I get is a black screen. I couldn't watch the game. I was frustrated by that one. But Oregon, they welcomed USC to Eugene, and they said, no, thank you, sir. We're taking over the Pac-10. And for the first time, and I think it'll be the first time in nine years, USC will not be the Pac-10 champions, unless something crazy happens. But right now it appears Oregon's going to win out and win the Pac-10.
And as much as Pete Carroll has been crucified for not being able to win big games and always having one or two games that always get tripped up and having all the recruits at his fingertips, that's impressive for 9 years not being able to be knocked
off. Oh, yeah, it's remarkable, especially in a power conference like the Pac-10. The thing is here, Oregon, I mean, really, their only loss is to Boise State. Now the question becomes,
was in the first game of the season.
Should they be ranked ahead of Boise State? In my opinion, no, because Boise State beat you fair and square, and you might be playing.
Whether that's the first game or the last game, either way, if they beat you, they beat you.
Exactly.
So that makes them better.
And Boise State right now is technically ranked ahead of them in the BCS standings. We got Florida at 1, Texas at 2, Alabama at 3, Iowa, who pulled out another squeaker against Indiana.
They came back, too. 5 interceptions, 4-3. In the third quarter.
3 fourth quarter touchdowns to take the lead and win that one. Cincy's staying at 5. TCU's at 6. Boise's at 7. Oregon's at 8. But looking at Jeff Sagarin, everybody loves the Sagarin ratings for his computer rankings that are actually normally quite similar to the BCS. He has Oregon as the number 2 team in the country. And it's ahead of Boise State. Do you agree with that?
I don't agree with that just yet. I mean, they beat the number 4 team in the country, USC, so I think that definitely brings them up into the top 5. But
and
I
they didn't get blown out
two.
By Boise State. I mean, they made it close at the end. I mean, it wasn't
I mean,
a good game.
They only had that one loss. It's the beginning of the season, so you can kind of start making your arguments there for Oregon being a top 5 team and maybe being second in the country. But I still think top 5 at best. I don't see number 2. Maybe 3, 4, 5, somewhere in there.
It's definitely crazy. The BCS standings are totally different from the rest of the polls right now, because if you look at the AP, Florida's at 1, Texas at 2, Alabama's 3, Cincy's 4, Boise State's 5. So it's not the same top 5 as you see elsewhere.
Doesn't it seem like a weird year, too, for BCS? I mean, there's always some weird games going on, but it just seems like it's a completely different landscape this year.
It's Halloween. It's that time of year. It's
Spooky
definitely getting
things.
Weird in college football. We got to take a break. When we get back, we're going to talk some NFL. Also, the Carolina Hurricanes, we haven't been talking much hockey in the past few weeks. They're off to their worst start in franchise history. 9 straight losses at this point. It is bad. They are reeling. We're going to try and talk to Chip Alexander, beat writer for the Carolina Hurricanes at the Raleigh News and Observer. We're going to get him on the line and diagnose what's wrong with the Canes. More sports at the Wazoo. Coming right back on 90.5 WASU-FM. Online at WASURocks.com.